Back here on the Mighty 690 at 7:40 as we have our first Green Setup program of the year brought to you by Green Acres. And we have in studio here Dave and Rolling and Wendy Powell. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good to have you on here. Welcome to 2024. So I know with the calendar changing over, we, of course, have a few events to talk about.
Yes. So coming up, I think next week, January 16th, the Corn and Soybean School will be at the Kansas or the Southeast Kansas Research Center there in Parsons off of Highway 400. And then February 9th, I've got the OCAN Cattle Conference coming up here at the Coffeyville Rec Center. So that's going to be a local program. And we have changed the agenda a little bit to add a beef quality assurance session to that. So folks attending that conference, OCAN Cattle Conference, will become beef quality assurance certified. And I'll talk more about that at our next interview.
Excellent. Well, that sounds good. So some good events on the way here that we want people to know about. And starting first here with Dave, Diversified Ag Agent. And Dave, what do we have for us here this morning?
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to talk a little bit about first was for anyone who has a live Christmas tree, a lot of times those Christmas trees are taken, they may be taken down already, or that might be on the to-do list for this week. But you may be wondering if you have livestock, if you can feed that Christmas tree to your livestock, especially maybe if you have goats. Goats are commonly known for liking to eat trees. And one thing you want to consider is if you purchase that tree from the store or from a store, if you don't know if it was treated with any colorants or fire retardants or even pesticides, you want to err on the side of caution and not feed the tree to your animals, because sometimes those colorants or fire retardants are toxic to animals. So just err on the side of caution and don't feed that Christmas tree to them. However, if you do know where the tree came from, its history, that it wasn't treated with anything along those lines, then most of the time it is safe to feed to livestock. However, with anything new addition to their diet, it could upset their stomach because it's something their digestive system isn't used to. So you wouldn't want to toss the whole tree into the pasture, especially if you just have a few goats, for example, but you could cut a few branches off and feed a couple branches to them every day until that tree is gone. Now, this time of year, a lot of folks do have does that are getting close to kidding and are in late gestation, and it's recommended to not feed any pine trees to them, because certain types of pine tree needles can be toxic to does when they're in those later stages of pregnancy and cause them to miscarry. So I just wanted to touch on that briefly, as I know folks have gotten rid of or are getting rid of their trees. And then kind of switching gears a little bit, it's the new year, so I know folks may be setting New Year's resolutions, or a lot of people this year I've noticed are referring to them as goals instead of resolutions. But one goal you might set for your operation this year is keeping better records, or maybe just more accurate records.
Wendy's happy. Wendy's very happy about that.
Yay!
Yeah. I know it's something we're always encouraging folks to do. So with the new year, it's a great time to start fresh. So maybe you already have a system that works good for you, which is awesome. But if you don't, so you want to keep records both of your animals, you know, when they kitted, when they calved, or when they lambed, basically when they gave birth, for those females, when you gave them their shots, when you dewormed them, any management tasks you performed. But you also want to keep track of those financial records as well, especially if you're filing income taxes for your farm. And just to know if you're breaking even or not. For some folks, having just a few animals is a hobby, and they're not really concerned about breaking even. But for other people, it's more of a side business. And it's always important to know how much money you're putting into your livestock and how much money you're getting back from them. And then maybe you can make some adjustments to make it more economical this year.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, we have the dreaded tax season coming up here, and I, you know, assume that, you know, people may be getting into that wishing that they had had better records to begin with, and this is obviously not something that changes overnight or starts to make a difference overnight, but, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, you probably wish that you may have taken a little bit better records, too, because, you know, if you are running a, if you qualify to be running an agricultural operation, I mean, there can be some tax benefits to some of the items you're buying, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. So now is a good time, and, you know, in the new year, like you said, as you're gathering taxes, you might realize, like, hey, you didn't do that great of a job of, you know, keeping track of your receipts for this year. So you want to keep track of those receipts to have with your tax returns, and then you'll also have those on file if you ever get audited. And you want to keep your receipts for, you know, those smaller purchases related to your farming or your livestock operation, as well as those larger purchases. And I know a lot of times the struggle is you buy something and then those receipts might get lost in the feed truck or whatever truck you were driving when you made that purchase. So if you get in the habit of bringing those receipts inside, I know some folks, they set up just a specific box in their house, like right as they enter the door, and they put all their receipts in there, and then at the end of the month they can go through those receipts, making a note of what those receipts are for, and then filing for them for that month, and then you have the file for the year. And as you're going through that at the end of the month, you can also put it into an Excel sheet or a Google sheet, whatever your preferred way is to keep electronic records, and then you can kind of like total up your expenses, total up your income, and you have an electronic record and you have a hard copy to kind of back each other up. And that's similar with your livestock records. I really encourage you, if you're not already, to, you know, keep track of, you know, when you had a ewe lamb. And, you know, for some folks, you have a notebook and you write down that ewe's number, the date she lambed, what she had, the tag numbers of that lamb. For me, a lot of times I always have my phone with me, so I have a note section on my phone where I'll write all that down. But then also, you know, having a hard copy, I prefer personally Excel sheets, and having one for every year where I can put in, you know, all that same information, because, you know, my phone right now is mad at me because I'm running out of storage. Uh-oh. So, yeah. You know, it's better to also, in Excel sheets, I can combine them for, you know, this year and the past years to kind of look back if I'm making decisions of which, maybe does to sell this year. I can see, well, you know, this one, you know, she missed last year, I should sell her, or she only throws singles, you know, she's not maybe as economical as keeping one that always raises a nice set of twins. And I know for cows, you know, we always keep that notebook in the feed truck, so no matter who's checking the cows, they can write down the cow number and when she calved. But of course, with notebooks and working cattle, sometimes it's easy for those to get wet, and then you kind of lose that information. So having, you know, a hard copy where it's easy to write all your notes down as you're doing things, and then, you know, setting a day once a month to transfer all of that onto the computer, just so you have a backup record.
Well, and I know that, you know, people might not want to spend the money on the bougie notebooks, but there are those ones that are like the Write in the Rain ones.
They are. And
they won't, like, even if they get wet, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and those are really nice. My dad likes those because they have one that's pocket size, so he could put it in his shirt pocket, and when he was, you know, doing stuff with the goats, he could make notes in there. And then also, speaking of record keeping, we have partnered with the Kansas Farm Management Association to hold a QuickBooks training the beginning of February. So if you're wanting to take your financial record keeping to the next level, you can join us on February 3rd at the Southeast Research Center in Parsons for a QuickBooks training. It will be from 9 a.m. to about 2 p.m. It's usually a 3 to 4 hour training, and lunch will be provided, and we'll walk you through, you know, all the basics of using QuickBooks. So if that's something you want to start this year, that would be a great training and hopefully save you some frustration of trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the receipt idea of, you know, just having a box, because I know when I'm coming to the house, I like don't want to deal with that, you know. So, and it all just ends up in a pile on the desk or something. So, you know, right. And then you're looking and you're like, I don't know what even this was. So you just like throw it away. So
yeah,
that's not good. So yeah, it doesn't have to be something super complicated or something that you have to, you know, run and enter in the computer or something, you know. I like that kind of maybe at the end of the month, gathering everything together and taking a look at it.
Yeah, mainly, you know, finding something that works good for you, mm-hmm. and doing like small steps, not trying to make a major overhaul, yeah. and make it complicated.
It's not like, you know, maybe elementary school or something where, you know, everyone has to do the same exact system, you know. Everyone can develop their own system that works for them, I think, is the, as long as you do something.
Right. As long as you do something thing. And as long as, you know, you keep track of those receipts to go with your records when it comes to tax
yeah.
time.
Yeah. And it can be hard times, too, because so many of us, you know, maybe if you have a small business and you have a kind of side ag operation, trying to keep all that straight and making sure, you know, what I gas mileage for this venture and this venture, you know, it can get kind of complicated. So kind of separating that out, I'm sure, can definitely be something important.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's good. So as we kind of wrap up here, David, anything else you'd like to share with us this morning?
That's all I have for this morning.
Okay. Well, Wendy Powell in studio with us. And Wendy, what are we going to talk about here in our next segment?
We are going to discuss another hot topic for this time of year. Usually it's not part of New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals, though. A livestock operation and their leasing aspects. So that could be land leasing. It could be livestock herd leasing. All things leasing coming up.
Okay, well, it's going to be a good topic, and especially important, you know. Hey, even if people are looking to acquire some property, there may be some strings attached. So something to be aware of. All right, well, we have 24 degrees right now as we approach the top of the hour. Check out the news on the way here on KGGF and more as our Greenside Up program continues, brought to you by the folks at Green Acres here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Back here on the Mighty 690 at 810. Happy to have you along if you have anything for us as we continue here on the program. And, of course, our Greenside Up program brought to you by Green Acres. And we have joining us Wendy Powell and David Rowling from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. Good morning once again, ladies.
Good morning.
So we did talk a little bit here this last segment of some upcoming events, but we have some new folks probably joining us. So we want to go ahead and go through a few of the upcoming events we have as we go through, you know, the start of 2024.
Yeah, so January 16th is going to be the corn and soybean school, and that'll be at the Southeast Research and Extension Center there on Highway 400 near Parsons. So that's coming up. And then did you want to talk about the...
Yeah, on February 3rd, we are partnering with the Kansas Farm Management Association to host a QuickBooks training, also at the Southeast Research and Extension Center in Parsons, and the training will be from 9 to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It usually takes 3 to 4 hours, and we will be providing lunch as well.
Yeah. And then February 9th will be the OCAN Cattle Conference at the Rec Center here in Coffeyville, and folks will be able to become certified for beef quality assurance. So that'll be a really big program.
Hey, that is a good opportunity there. So maybe in this lull time, you get a little bit of, you know, educational opportunities that we have for you here in the colder months. So that's a good deal. So, Wendy, I know we teased it here a little bit ago. We do have a topic this morning of livestock operations and leasing. So what do you want to start out on here? I know there's several different types of leases, right?
Yes. So this is a really big question that we get this time of year is, you know, how much should we lease a pasture or crop ground for? And usually folks are just asking about pricing. And I wanted to go a little bit deeper than that and talk about, you know, why we would lease and all of the different factors that are involved with a lease, whether it's land or a herd of livestock for various reasons, things like that. And the reason this is so timely right now, if you do not have a written agreement for your lease, so if you are using an oral agreement, then your time frame to make changes or to terminate that lease from either party, the tenant or the landowner, it's 30 days before March 1st here in Kansas. This is a leap year, so if my math is correct, that's January 30th. So that's coming up fairly quickly. So if you want to terminate your lease, you need to send a certified letter to whichever party you're communicating with. And so that is if you do not have a written agreement already. So for oral contracts, oral agreements, 30 days before March 1st is the state understanding. So the different types of leases, usually most folks will think of land, cropland, pasture, hunting even. There's lots of different reasons to lease land. But there's also the ability to lease livestock. So most of the time, this is going to be a producer that maybe wants to phase out of the operation, and so they are turning over management a little bit at a time. Or if someone has livestock in a different section of the world or a different part of the county that is inconvenient for that producer to keep an eye on those animals, then they might contract out some help to keep those animals in check. You know, somebody to go out and feed, put out supplement, check fences, things like that. So there's a few different ways you can work that, and it really just depends on what the situation is. You might also think about leasing herds of goats, maybe for land management strategies, so brush cleaning, things like that. And then you would have to consider all types of animal care, predator management, things like that. So, of course, with either cows or goats, you're going to be considering lots of different factors with those livestock operations. Stocking rates, you know, performance. Is the goal to have an average daily gain of, you know, 2.5 pounds a day on those calves? Or are you wanting to wean at a certain date at a certain weight? So just lining out all of the management goals that you have and being agreeable to both the livestock owner and the tenant, however you want to. It's not really a tenant if they're leasing the
sure.
livestock, but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The caregiver, there we go.
Yeah.
So the name of the game is communication and the agreement being appropriate for all parties involved. So sometimes that means it's a cash transaction. You know, I will pay you X number of dollars to check these cows every other day, check the fence and do all of these things, and that's it. That's a very simple agreement for a service. Or if you spend X number of hours building fence or whatever, then that's an hourly rate. However that needs to happen. Sometimes those can be very simple and straightforward. However, we can get to more profitable situations that might be more appropriate, depending on the situation, if you share that risk. So a lot of times with pasture situations, then we're talking about the cost of input. So is the landowner or the tenant going to pay for the fertilizer? Oftentimes I hear that landowners will pay for the fertilizer and the tenant spreads it or make sure that it gets put around. So different situations, similar with herbicide. You know, the landowner might purchase the product, but the tenant does the labor. And so those are both, they're kind of shared.
Yeah, a way to split it, you know.
Yes, exactly. You can manage the risk together, and hopefully the end result will be better because both people are participating in that strategy. So therefore, you actually do get some weed control or extra growth because of the fertilizer. So then, you know, both parties really understand the value of the inputs a lot more. Then you can have a combination of a cash and a share situation, which some of these can get kind of complicated, but you can start out with a straightforward cash transaction. But then, you know, if the cattle gain above a threshold that you've established, let's say 2.5 pounds, you know, you end up getting 3 pounds average daily gain. And so your higher weaning weight is going to benefit the tenant with that higher profit. Well, maybe they want to share a profit bonus with the landowner, you know, for taking the time and effort to purchase all of the fertilizer rather than just a small amount to get the job done. So having all of that lined out in a written agreement is ideal, just because there's so many situations that can happen where the line is gray and you kind of can push it a little bit. Or what happens when one party or the other is no longer in the situation? You know, accidents happen, and we never want to have to think about that, but we do want to make provisions. I get calls quite often where someone, a daughter, a wife, has inherited this lease, and they don't know anything about how to operate their agreement with their tenant. And so sometimes the tenant is having to educate the landowner on what the expectations had been. Well, times have changed. You know, 2023 and 2024, I'm sure, is not the same as it was 5 years ago. So times have changed, and we just want to make for sure that everybody is familiar with current practices, current rates, things like that. So let's talk about rates. That's the hardest thing to come up with. We do have a lot of surveys in Kansas, the statewide surveys that go out. There's the Blue Stem Pasture Report that focuses on native grass. USDA does some as well. So we can kind of give you a starting point for a lease rate, but it's really not nailed down.
Sure. And people want some sort of formula per acre. You know, they want you to go on your magic, you know, computer and give them a number.
Yes. And actually, I was just looking at the fact sheet yesterday, and the fact sheet to actually calculate the rate, it's like an Excel sheet where you've got your landowner cost estimates, your fencing, corrals, interest, land taxes, depreciation, repairs, all of these things. That's the landowner side of things. And then for the livestock owner, you have to consider the value of the animal. Maybe you have loans on those animals themselves, so you've got interest, and then supplemental feed and death, loss, labor, all of these different factors to consider. So coming up with a hard number that's going to satisfy all parties across the state is not going to happen. So we can give you a starting point, but then I can also give you these tips on going through and making for sure that you are considering all aspects of that agreement. The biggest thing here, I've got it in bold, is communication. To be clear is to be kind. So making for sure that all parties know what's going on. Priorities for a lease agreement is obviously agreeable to both parties, written with an ending date. So right now, I'm really encouraging folks to go with a longer 3 to 5 year pasture lease, just because whenever you have a tenant that's on a yearly or even a monthly basis, then there's not really an incentive to take care of the ground. You know, you might just throw a whole bunch of animals out there and they graze it to the ground, and then that tenant moves on and that pasture is left not in a good condition. So if you go with a long lease term, then the tenant has the priority of taking care of that land as well. So making for sure there's an ending date or a renegotiation date. That way, if things are not working, if the communication is less than either party desires, then you guys can go your separate ways. And it's on paper, you know what it's looking like. There's lots of different things that make this difficult. I always encourage folks to put stocking rate in their livestock agreements and in their pasture agreements as well. So forage status. precipitation, dealing with mud. All of these different things can make it really difficult, because if you've got a really wet season, you don't want the animals tracking up all of the pasture. So maybe moving them to one section until the rest of it kind of dries out a little bit. Vice versa, we've been dealing in a drought. So what happens when you're out of forage? Do you destock? What's the plan for determining when to destock? Things like that. Who's going to maintain the fencing? Who's going to maintain the water system? You know, even if it's just a pond, there's still a little bit of maintenance there. So who's going to be monitoring those types of things? Whenever you're looking at leasing herds or maybe transitioning herd ownership from one person to another, make for sure that you're keeping all the different entities separate. So if you are keeping replacement heifers of a cow that the tenant is leasing, how is that replacement heifer going to transfer ownership? And really, that's two different things. It's not the cow herd. That's a new animal coming into the herd. So it really needs to be priced that way and negotiated appropriately. So make for sure that you are lining out how you're going to price things, price determination sold between parties, how you're going to divide the calf crop if you're doing some sort of share basis, how you're going to determine culls, and who's going to get the cull income. That kind of goes back to David's record keeping. Which ones do you cull? And that needs to be a well thought out process. So some things that you need to do before signing an agreement: do a pasture or herd walkthrough. Make for sure that you know what situation you're getting into. And this is for both parties. The landowner and the tenant need to get out there and put their shadows in those situations, because sometimes things, invasive species, Sericea lespediza, ragweed, red cedars, they just pop up into pastures, and knowing what is out there is going to be, that makes that communication so much easier. Check your price, your cost inputs for tree removal, pond clean out, all the different aspects of pasture maintenance, and anything vet services if you're talking about herd leasing. Consider all of those inputs and make for sure that, you know, you're not going to be taken to the cleaners on either side of the story, landowner or tenant. We've got all kinds of resources at the Extension office. We've got fact sheets that will walk you through all of these different things. We have example contracts that are fillable. You can just kind of write down what information you need. You can mark out the sections that don't apply to you. Very easy to make yours. You can even... we've got typable, we've got handwritten, whatever works. We've got Excel spreadsheets if you want to use some decision tools of adding up all of the different inputs and outcomes from that. And then, of course, like I mentioned earlier, those pasture lease surveys where we can discuss rates.
So. Sure. And, you know, I would assume, too, that if you're trying to get a ballpark, you know, if you're on good terms, hopefully with your neighbors, and they maybe have some leases, you could also kick around if they're willing to share some information, you know, with you about, you know, how they do things and, you know, what they do for leasing as far as, you know, price goes and everything.
Absolutely, yes. And a lot of people want to keep that close to their heart because they're getting a good deal and they don't want somebody to try to take that out from under them. But really, communication is, it's not usually like that, you know. But then when we're talking about rates, you know, you never know who's getting the family and friends discount, mm-hmm. or, you know, that place is going for so much lower because, you know, he's out of town or whatever. So it's very, very situational.
Sure. It's true. It, like you said, there's it depends. Yes. It's one of those it depends answers.
Yes.
Here. Well, that's some good information, Wendy. Appreciate you you sharing that with us. And just kind of a side topic, maybe a question for you. You know, we have some pastures that, you know, maybe haven't been grazed for a long time. You know, people are looking for additional forage and that sort of thing. Is there any thoughts on, you know you mentioned earlier, you know, like oftentimes we'll see pastures where cedar trees pop up, mm-hmm. and these get kind of really out of control, if you will. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing if someone comes to you and they are in a situation where they got a pasture that's maybe not, is a little overgrown? Where do you kind of start with that?
So a lot of times I'll just do a pasture walk with them, and then we'll talk about what they want out of that pasture. You know, if they're wanting to run cattle, then we need to make for sure the fences are good. and then we can talk about clearing some of the trees. And most of the time, I encourage folks to, instead of trying to bite off the whole pasture and just clean out all of the trees, period, you know, maybe improve one section at a time and clear those trees in this little part here and improve that grass, make for sure that you're good there, and then you can expand from that. So you're not spending all of your time and money on, you know, partially getting the job done on the whole pasture, but you're narrowing your inputs and you can really make a difference in this smaller part and you can see progress. And while you might not be able to throw as many cattle or whatever out there, you'll be able to really take care of that little section more appropriately than biting off more than you can chew.
That's some good advice, people. You get easily overwhelmed when you start looking at everything you have to do, but I like that idea.
Yes. But yeah, certainly give me a call. I'm happy to work with folks. Sometimes it's a matter of herbicide, and it's going to be a multi-year program, whether you're doing the whole pasture or just one small part of the pasture. So give me a call. I'm happy to work with folks on that.
Excellent. Well, if people do have questions for you on, you know, this topic of leasing or any other, you know, livestock related topic like that, animal production, how can we get a hold of you?
Yep. Call me at the Altamont office, 620-784-5337.
All right. And David, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me by calling the Independence office. That number is 620-331-2690.
All righty. Well, ladies, always a pleasure to have you on board, and look forward to talking again here real soon.
Thanks
for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. That is David Rowling and Wendy Powell here on our Green Side Up program, brought to you by Green Acres. And we do have open line on the way here on KGGF.